Hey, this is Carrie from Wrap Your Head Around Silks. This is the Expecting Errorless podcast, now with the Digitant family of podcasts. How's it going, guys? Hope you're having an amazing week. Before we get started, check the show notes to become an email subscriber, because those are the ones who are going to get VIP access to Errol Rehab and to register this week. So check there. It is the bridge between physical therapy and your favorite aerial class, ground to air progression to get you there quickly and safely. All right, my friends, today we have Justine Paula. We are checking in. Her first baby, it was a lot of pins and needles because her daughter had to go into preemie heart surgery shortly after she gave birth, and now she's on to her second, and she's postpartum, taking care of an infant and a toddler. She is working on her diastasis recti, and then also, she tried for a C-section with no luck. So she talks all about the nitty-gritty details, and I'm really excited to have you back, Justine. Let's get started. Well, hello.
How are you? How you been?
Oh my goodness. Bigger questions. How have you been?
Oh, I've been good. We've been good. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
I know. I was looking back at your episode, and it was season one. And so Justine, this is Justine Paula. This is her. We're checking in on her because she just had her second kid. You're 3 months out?
Yeah, 12 weeks was yesterday. So.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So if you would give I'm going to link in the show notes the first episode, so if people want to go back and listen to your story, but if you can give kind of like a summary of your story, because it was so unique, because your kid had heart surgery.
Right. Yeah. So back during the height of the pandemic, I was pregnant. I had a whole bunch of random things come up that, you don't usually hear. The most common thing that happened was IUGR, intrauterine growth restriction, where the baby's like on the smaller side and getting smaller. Luckily, Selena made it, and she was born at 34 weeks. I was put in the hospital at 31 weeks, but she made it. And a week after birth, they found out she needed heart surgery because she was born with a defect called the coarctation of the aorta and a VSD. She was born at only 2 pounds and like 11, 12 ounces, like real small. So they had to wait until she got a little bit bigger for the surgery. But so we had to cut off nutrition. She was just eating through a tube and just kind of holding out hope that she'd get the surgery. At about 3 weeks, she got the surgery. And luckily, everything has been really good with her heart since.
Oh, my God. That is so good to hear.
Yeah, there was a 50-50 shot on if she was going to need them to go back in and work on the VSD, which is a ventricle septal defect, which is like those two big parts of the heart. But luckily, as she got bigger, that has kind of settled on its own, and we got on the good side of that 50%.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine what 2.5 pounds feels like, because my kid was 7 pounds, 1 ounce, and she felt small, right?
Yeah, it's crazy looking back at pictures because all that time hop stuff pops up.
What kid? Justine Paula's kid was 2.5 pounds. You were way bigger, but you were still little.
Oh, I get to see her this time.
Yeah. Justine Paula's kid was so little.
Yeah.
Okay, come back later and say hi, okay? She's a pro at this podcasting thing.
iPad time.
Yeah, but she's a pro. She knows. Oh my God, she totally knows. And like at around 57 minutes, she's like, are you done? I'm done. Yeah, I learned about a year ago that I cannot schedule two of these a day.
Oh, no. That's risky business.
Oh, it's living on the wild side, like living on the edge. So that is amazing. And how old now?
So she just turned 3. Ugh. And so most preemies catch up by 2 with size. And that's the one thing that she has not. She is a tiny little thing. She just got weighed in at about 21.9 pounds. So.
And what percentile is that? What did the doctor say?
She's never been on the curve. She's probably like minus 10 at this point. But she is 7% in height. So she's on the curve for height.
Does it stress you out or no?
Luckily, not anymore.
Okay.
You know, luckily, you know, the worst thing is you get the surgery done, and that's great. And then you meet all the specialists after the fact. And since your kid's not in crisis mode, that's when they throw everything at you. That's like, have you ever thought about giving her avocado or ice cream or all these really basic things to try and get her bigger? And after a while, you start kind of laughing about it. Like, no, I've never heard of avocados before. That's great.
Yeah. Like, obviously, you're trying all those things.
Right. But she's not picky. She'll eat all of the things that you wouldn't expect a kid to eat, but just quantity wise, she just, no, I'll take two bites and go back and play. I'm good.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah. I remember when I was a 6 years old, and like I was already taking dance lessons, and I had like those, like, you know, back in the 80s, those Lycra, like bright green leotards with sequins. You see every single rib in my rib cage. I was tiny. This one is also all, she's 3 and a half. She's already wearing my costumes that I wore when I was 5.
Oh my gosh.
So she's tall. She's skinny and tall, but then it has muscle tone that I don't have. I think that comes from her dad's side.
So. Lucky.
Lucky.
Right?
So you guys got pregnant on purpose or on accident for the second one?
Yeah. We were always hopeful to have a second. And after like about a year, we got pregnant. And luckily, baby Julian, he's easy. He's chill. He's way bigger than they thought he was going to be. They kept guesstimating like 6 and a half, maybe 7 pounds. And he came out almost 9 pounds. So
oh,
a little off. But, you know, I know ultrasounds aren't always accurate.
Yeah, they always are just like, yeah, we're accurate within a couple pounds. I'm like, the baby's only a couple pounds. So...
Oh yeah, because you know, the luckily with the pregnancy with him, everything was smooth sailing. Like placenta was good, baby's heart was good, everything was good. Because Selena had IUGR, they did a little bit more testing. So I did like a little bit of time with the MFM crew, and I had like one ultrasound a month once they cleared me back to just regular old OB care. So yeah, it was pretty simple. Then they had me do a fetal echo, so an echocardiogram, to check on his heart at like 24 weeks to see if they could see any defect or anything that they'd have to go and search further on. But luckily, he's, knock on wood, everything's been good so far.
So did it feel, because obviously the first one was so much.
Oh yeah.
Was it really amazingly chill, or did you have any PTSD about the first one during the second?
I feel like I felt pretty good. You know, there's always that comparison trap. You start like thinking like, oh, well, it was like this then with anything in life. But, you know, I try to like just be like level headed and be like, you know, that was a rare one in a million kind of thing. If it happens again, then lightning's just going to strike twice and we're just roll with it. And I wouldn't change her however she is. So it's like, hey.
Yeah. But, you know, better for it to not be super stressful. Right? And then
they let me take the kid out of the hospital after like 2 days. It's like, all right, like, okay.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tell me about your labor.
We tried to go for a VBAC, and it was unsuccessful.
Oh.
You know, I kind of had a feeling it wasn't gonna go too hot. And, you know, when you go to the hospital too early and you start hitting all those all those interventions earlier and earlier, you're like, ah, crap. This ain't that's probably where my anxiety kicked in the most was, I know that I think other people on the podcast have mentioned where it's you're more likely to have like a uterine rupture or something going like with a VBAC. Not, it's rare, but there's potential of it. And so anytime I felt like too much pain, I was like, oh, I should probably go get this checked, because the last thing I need is something chaotic to happen at home. And so I labored at home for like 6-7 hours. And I wasn't even sure if it was actual labor, because it was like 15 minutes of pain with like 30 seconds of off time, and then it would come right back. I was like, this doesn't seem like the pattern that it's supposed to be. Let's just go in.
Okay. And so you went in. Did they decide pretty early on to do C-section?
They didn't. They were like, all right, well, you're 2 centimeters. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks. That's just what I needed to hear. Only 2. But they didn't think anything was wrong per se. So they ended up giving me an epidural maybe a few hours after that. And then it was maybe they did the C-section maybe like 18 hours later or so. It was pretty much almost the very end of the day.
Would you have rather they just get it out?
It was hard because I wanted the VBAC, but I didn't. It wasn't like end all be all. I was like, yeah, C-section. Right. Like I recovered once for it. I'm fine. I think it was just more the care itself was a little cruddy, which I didn't expect so much because I used to work for the hospital I delivered at. And like all of my patients, everyone's always been like, oh, we like great, 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 positive, positive. I love my OB. But of course, you don't have your OB when you're going to labor. What's the chances of that? Yeah. And I learned that I was one of 9 C-sections that night. So they were just like, yeah, let's just get these done. It seemed like more so than anything.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, it's like a little factory-ish.
It felt very factory-ish. I know the NBA finals was on and like they were like, oh, the game's on. I'm like, oh, wait, are we waiting so you can see if Miami wins? Like, let's not. I don't care.
That's not on my priority list right now.
So kind of like not like the ideal, like when you're like, oh, I really don't plan on having any other children. And you're like, oh, okay. I had one where we went right to the NICU. Hope we survive. And the other, you're like, oh, they knocked me out at the C-section where I didn't see him until after in like the recovery room. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And I was, did you ever get the shakes?
Oh, the shakes were terrible.
Right? I don't know why it feels so terrible. But it is.
And they're like,
terrible.
Oh, you must be cold. Here's a hot pack. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm good. I'm just hormones or something. I'm over here.
Or it's something about the anesthesia, but I had the shakes, right? And right. I couldn't, I mean, they gave me more drugs to get rid of the shakes, but then mm-hmm. I was just like, and you had already had a kid, but this is my first kid, right? My only kid. So they put her in the plastic bassinet right beside my bed. But I was so out of it, and I just tried to move my hand to the bassinet, and I could see myself just like trying to move and just touch the bassinet. I just wanted to like turn my head so I could see what this little bean looked like. Aww. I couldn't move. I was like, this sucks. But whatever. Yeah. I'm fine.
Like, right?
I just want to meet her.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think probably the biggest reason why I felt like a factory is like before I went in there, the nurses who were great were all like, oh, do you want skin to skin? Do you want your husband to cut the cord? Do you want? I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And then none of that happened, even though they said it wasn't an emergency. And I'm like, but it's not an emergency. Can I please?
Yeah. Can I please do the skin to skin? Yeah. I definitely didn't get to do that because of the stuff that was happening. But
right?
Yeah. But then you meet
the
kid.
Like the curtain was so close to the face, you know, like it's like hitting you in the face, and you're like, really?
Yes. Just get rid of this.
I'm not afraid to see what I can see. I know what the insides look like. Let's just lower the curtain. And let me see it. It's fine.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, so you got to take your kid home after 2 days.
Yeah, we got after a couple of days. We were rearing to go. You know, I was like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Well, because they don't let you rest at all. But you have a toddler too.
Oh yeah, that's a fun combo.
Yeah, how did you navigate that time?
We're still trying over here.
Okay, yeah, please tell me.
Preschool starts next week. That's really what I'm going for here.
Yeah, you need a little bit of just the infant.
Yeah, you know, I was real smart. We decided to try potty training at the same time as bringing in a newborn home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
0 out of 10 stars. Don't recommend.
Well, the days that you were actually in the hospital, family, friends, taking care of.
Yeah, exactly.
The little one. Okay.
Yeah.
Please tell us what the last 3 months have been like.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I got lucky as heck with the second baby because he's okay if he's not getting all of the attention in the room, which we know with a toddler, they need all of it. He's happy. He wakes up smiling. I'm like, all right. He sleeps okay. Not like through the night or anything, but like pretty decent. We didn't have a good latch or anything, so I'm back to exclusive pumping again. That's a fun journey.
Yeah. Okay. So neither of your kids latched.
Nope.
That stinks.
Yeah. He was aggressively hungry and ripped me to bleeding and all that stuff day one. And I was like, you know what? Nope. Just give me the stupid pump. Let's be smarter about the pump this time. Let's get to do all the hacks and the things that you can move around with it with the toddler. And I'm lucky that I have a supply, so I feel like I can't stop.
Okay, so how much are you pumping a day?
I just dropped a pump. I am on 6 pumps a day now, so we're
Six pumps a day. Right? And you just have the bottles attached to you with like the band around your chest.
Oh yeah, I got the bra with the built-in things. You do the fridge hack with the parts. Yeah. What else did I learn? We got the pumps that you can stick in your bra. So like you don't have to be attached to the wall. That's been kind of helpful. You know, you do all the things.
And how did you carve out this hour? What are the kids doing now?
They are with my mother, who is like the, I don't know if she'll listen to this, but she's like my MVP and they love her and they're always pretty good angels with her compared to me. So that's always good.
And they're at your house or her house?
I swung by theirs. I'm like, I'll make it easy. I'll come on up.
Oh, that's amazing. And she lives like in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like 20 minutes away. So.
Oh goodness. That is
very, very lucky.
That is like, I mean, I wouldn't move towards my parents. Like, I'm not leaving LA for any reason. But that sounds glorious.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest reason why we stayed in the greater Boston area ourselves.
Right. Well, Boston's also a pretty good city.
It's not too like bad here. Yeah. You know, jobs and such, so.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so you've been sleeping okay. I mean, your toddler is now
three. So yeah, she's like, she turned three in July. So
how is she doing with the new human?
She's good. She's definitely more jealous, you know, which is, I think, normal for most toddlers. I guess if there was a baby expert, I would tell you all these things, but she doesn't like lash out and hit him. But I do find that like, oh, if I'm feeding the baby, she has to feed her Ernie. And Ernie is a 38-year-old stuffy that used to look like Ernie. It was my husband's.
Like Ernie from Ernie and Bert.
Oh, yeah. It's the most deranged looking thing, but she does not let that thing by her side now. Ernie uses the Mama Roo. Ernie has a diaper.
Okay.
All of the things.
Does she want to look at baby pictures of herself?
Every once in a while. She cares more to look at herself right now.
Okay. So a little bit, I like this one, like, she's an only child, right? And I have clients over here all the time. I do massage, right?
Yeah.
And she legit said to me the other day, I hate clients. No more clients. You are mine only.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And she also says, I want a sister. Oh. So I don't know if she realizes those two things don't go very well together. But yeah, she said, I hate clients. No more clients. I had one over the other night at 8, like after 8 p.m. because of their schedule, the client's schedule. And, you know, it's close to bedtime. Yep. So she, like, melted. Oh, yeah. She was, like, in my lap, and I was trying to work with her in my lap. She was, like,
oh, no.
On my throat, crying onto me.
Oh.
I hate clients. So I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's... We'll see how she does. I go back to work in a couple of weeks, so we'll see how she does it all.
Yeah, is your mom the babysitter when you're at work?
Because with COVID, it wasn't always going to be that way, but with COVID happening and like when she had all of her complications, they wanted me to keep her out of daycare.
Yeah.
And my mother's job kind of like, I don't know, like they, I don't know if it was severance or what happened, but she was ready to retire anyways. And she was just like, screw it, I'm not going back. And she has been helping me out like 2-3 days a week and comes over and hangs out even more sometimes. I swear they like her way more than me. So it's good.
I think I'm more jealous of you than your daughter is of the baby.
I am so lucky. I never knew any of this would happen. I'm like, what do you want? I will buy your gas, your gifts, your summer vacation, like whatever you need. I am happy to help. But yeah, this will be her first year going to preschool. So we'll see how she does being away from us for, you know, 7 hours at a time.
But you know, the blessing is there, but you're going to feel it when they're older by like in a couple years, because at this, you know, at three, they do want to play with somebody. So by the time your youngest one is three, they're going to have each other. So that's where, you know, obviously.
I'm very, very lucky that it all turned out okay. That's for sure.
How are you feeling about going back to work?
I feel all right. I mean, I'm not going back to teaching Ariel for like another month. I've put that off. That's my fun hustle, as I call it. Mm-hmm. But My job is pretty physical, so I gave myself an extra few weeks, and luckily I work where it's like you do you, you work as much or as little as you can right now, like don't okay. rush back type thing. So I'm a chiropractor by day.
So are you gonna just fill up a couple days and then?
Yeah, I usually do like I'm going back 3 days a week. So
oh, that sounds great.
It's nice because I, you know, the benefit of working the style job is you come when people want you, and people like me at the crack of dawn. So I'm in the office usually by 6 a.m.
Okay.
But then it's good for pickup time out of school and things
Are
like that.
Are you a morning person?
I've become one
over okay, the years. There you go.
You know, yeah, I haven't really had much option since I think all of my jobs over the last 10 years have all been early. So
I used to be a personal trainer, and I think that's what kicked me out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The 5 a.m. client.
I'm like, I can't do this. Can we work out at noon or something? Because.
Oh, yeah. My lunchtime at like 10 in the morning. Everyone's like, you're eating so much. I'm like, oh, but it's lunch.
Yeah. Because you've been up forever. Yeah. It does seem to me like for me, going to work is so much easier than.
You get that break. You can like kind of talk to adults. Yeah. You just, you know. Got to have my mind sharp, but not in the same type of way as with kids.
Not in the same type of way, yeah.
I give stay-at-home moms all the props. That's
well, even if your job is different than mine or yours, I do kind of relate to your job as a chiropractor.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not.
PTs, you know, like, chiros, massage, yeah. We're all in that same family.
It's that same family. It's just, you know, you take care of a client. It's so much easier than taking care of a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
for the most part, a client's not going to scream and throw goldfish at you. So maybe every once in a while.
I do have a couple massage clients recently who have brand new to me. They're like, is it always going to feel this terrible?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe, because the better your onion gets peeled off, the more we're going to get to the center of that onion. And then.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll share one of my most favorite stories of peeling somebody's onion is that I have this male client. He's the most hilarious one. He's very reactive, very dramatic. And he was always like, oh, my inner thigh into the groin has always been like, you know. And I worked on it and I worked on it. And I get a DM from him and his wife.
Oh, one God. Day.
And they're like, thank you, Jesus. Carrie, you're a savior. So basically, he hadn't been able to ejaculate properly.
Oh, geez.
There had been like a like scar tissue or like just like the blockage was just a little, there's a little bit of a blockage in that tube, and the myofascia release that I did opened it right up.
You're not going to forget that story.
No. And it like she felt it. He felt it. They called me to thank me.
Better tips next time.
You know what? I just, you know, I like to share my funniest stories on this podcast every once in a while. And
oh, you gotta.
I have to. So going back to work, and then have you gotten back in the air at all? Or is that for later
on? I'm hoping to like this week, next week or so. I noticed with this baby, and maybe it's just second pregnancy in general, like definitely more bulging, more diastasis.
Okay.
So I've been working. I love this kind of topic anyways, but I've been working through it myself. But, you know, as when you're the provider, it's so much different than when you're the patient, the client, where you're like, okay, why isn't it better yet? Come on now. Come on, buddy. Get me there.
Yeah. So are you
doing
like,
what the heck?
The diaphragmatic breathing on the floor and all that good stuff.
Right. You're like, I'm so sick of this breathing. Let's go.
I know. Did you start it like right after your C-section
healed? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The breathing, you know, and the basic stuff to start, just like breathing in different positions and, you know, gently like lying on your side. Because, you know, this C-section hit me like a bag of bricks. And I was like, oof, okay. The first one was too easy for me. The second one, hello.
What was it? It was the sharpness of the whenever you moved?
A lot of sharpness, just generalized pain and like throughout the whole area.
Okay.
I also got lucky enough that I got psoriasis while being pregnant. I had that pup's rash of pregnancy that just turned into psoriasis. So I get to be scratching all day long. And some of it happened to happen right around my incision. So holding the baby would flare it. So that was a little difficult in the beginning. But
So are you being treated? I'm assuming you're being treated for psoriasis.
They gave me some options, and none of them are breastfeeding safe. So I am holding off until I finish pumping. So I'm using every like witchcraft thing I can think of. Any crunchy mom suggestion. I'm like.
Like you're dousing yourself in a bathtub of oatmeal.
Oh yeah. The Manuka honeys and like the anti-itch this. I'm like, great. And it's helped to an extent. I joke with everyone. I'm like, I need to find something for the underarm part because it's all underarms. And I'm like, oh, I get to be stinky. Great. Because deodorant will flare it up. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
So, just what I needed.
So the medication that you will eventually take, does it have steroids in it? Is that why?
They've given me the steroid one. And so I've taken that a few times here and there because that was safe to take. But like it messes your skin up real nice. So I'm like, oh, let me back off that. They have some non-steroid ones that if it's still really bad when I get done with pumping, which hopefully will be sooner than a year, and I'll still have a year's supply is the goal. But just another fun little one to have, you know, that pregnancy can give you.
So the diaphragmatic breathing, when you test yourself, what kind of diastasis do you have?
At first, it felt almost three-finger-like. But it's gotten down. It's definitely gotten down. So it's more in like the 1.5-ish range.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, it really only really terrible at the belly button right now. So I'm like, okay, we're closing this. It's just still looking poochy. Just we're closing this.
And then how's the skin?
The skin's okay. Not crazy flabby. I'm sure as the bulge goes down, I'm sure the skin will become looser, but I'm like, hey, it's just a tiger stripe or whatever they like to call it from having a kid. So I'm like, he's worth it.
Okay. And for me, when I was recovering from the C-section, my problem, well, I have all these gut issues and I have, mm-hmm. now I realize I have, what is this? Acid reflux. So the thing is my symptom is coughing. Like it'll just like my esophagus will get really irritated. And like all it has to have a coughing fit, which sucks during post-COVID because people look at you like you have five heads.
Yeah.
If you cough. Sometimes when it gets really bad, I'd be like, you guys, I just have acid reflux. Don't worry, I'm not sick. But coughing and like having an acid reflux, like wanting to throw up sometimes when I was recovering from that C-section, that was so bad. Because I had staples, actually. Is this normal?
Did you get them removed?
Yeah, I had to get them removed. So it wasn't sutures.
I'm lucky I guess mine dissolved.
Yeah, so I had to like get them pulled out. And like every time I would even try to cough, it would all, you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. it's from your belly.
Oh gosh, yeah. It's like brace for impact.
Brace for impact. So like they told me, they're like, just put a pillow on your belly and then try to cough. I was like, have you gone crazy? I feel like I'm going to rip my skin open.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was like, damn these. And then of course now, I can't figure out if I'm just bloated from my gut issues, from perimenopause, mm-hmm. or if I have extra belly fat. I can't tell because
it's so hard to tell.
I'm bloated. I did just go and get my blood test for a hormone panel, though. I finally mm-hmm. got it done, and I'm going to find out. And I bet you they're going to be like, nothing's wrong. It's just you. Yes. You're just like, nothing's wrong with your hormones. So right. Let's hope that they have an answer for me that I can somehow be treated, or my vanity is not going to be able to take it very much longer.
I need to get those extra tight, like, yoga pants that I see everyone wear, and they cover up the belly and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'll be ready to be back in the air when I get those suckers on. Like, really, let's lap this in. We'll be good. I wish I had a third arm so I could test, like, my diastasis in different positions, like from a pull-up position and other things. So I'm trying to... I'll enlist some of my colleagues and friends. Be like, all right, guys, help me out here. Because when you move your neck, it can change things. So you're like, oh, I'm like moving my neck and trying to hang from one arm and poke. And I'm like, oh, this isn't.
Yeah, I'm hoping though that you have some success with starting to be in the air after doing all of that breathing.
Oh, I hope so. I'm like, it's one of those things where I feel like we all evolve as with all of our hobbies in life. And it's like, you know, it's just nice to have air like that once or twice a week. Get to see my friends, you know, get in the backyard. I luckily got a rig now, so I'm in the backyard every once in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, just be nice. Just like, let me see if I still got it.
I mean, it will come back. I personally, I've already come back maybe two and a half times. And I'm like, I think I'm good. Because the first one allows you to know that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the second, you're like, but I don't want it to. I don't really want to. But another example, one of my students slash friends, Haikui, over at the Loft, she just had her fourth.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine taking care of four kids.
Well, the older ones are now like eight.
I guess, yeah, you get some that start to be a little more helpful around the house or off to school or something.
But then there's still a two-year-old hanging out there somewhere. But there are videos of her doing what is the weight that you like, when you're doing squats, but you have that big bar on your chest, what is that?
Called? Oh, bench press.
Yeah, but you're standing.
You're standing with a bar on your chest. Are you like front squats?
Yeah. She's doing that, like, 8 months pregnant. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
Some people can manage to do things much further along than I'm like, you know what? I was good tapping out. I got through aerial through 33 weeks this time around. I was like, you know what? That's great. That's,
you won't even find me doing that. Yeah, exercise when I'm not pregnant. She just like, she's a beast. And she has said to me in the past that she loves being pregnant. So I was like, this totally makes sense to me.
Hey, it works.
It works. Okay. So this is great. You're going back to work. You're going to see what it's like to be back in the air. You're balancing the kiddos.
Nothing too crazy to report this time. Just, All the fun usual mom stuff, I guess, of trying to manage yourself, kids, a house, work.
How many hours of sleep you get in a night, you think?
I don't know. I guess, I think the watch lies. I think I can get some nights I get a solid five, six hours.
Okay. And are you one to like need 8 or you can't function type of person?
If I can get 7, I feel like I'm like in at least a good spot. So I'm hoping to get back to 7 real soon.
Okay. All right. You want to say goodbye to Justine?
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for carving out the time for us. I appreciate you.
Yeah. It's always fun chatting.
Okay.
I'm ready.
You're going to the dentist today, right?
I'm not scared.
You're not scared. And you're going to open your mouth for them?
What movie they gonna
have? So at the dentist place that we go to Smiling Pea Dentistry down the street. And they have a movie. They have the movie screens right above the, like when they lay down. It's on the ceiling.
Oh, dang.
I know. I was like, whoa, you guys are smart. Are you
done? Yeah, I'm lucky. Yeah. My best friend's a dentist. So I just tell my daughter we're going to see Dr. Meg and she has to go see and she's fine. She'll sit in the chair with the glasses on.
My guy take away your
bud. Yeah, go ahead, Bean. Give it to me. You ready to go to the dentist?
Yeah.
Well, we have a little time. But Justine, thank you so much for being here. And we'll,
of course.
We'll do another check-in after they're a little older, All right, my friends. Justine, thank you so much for coming on and, continuing your story. I love hearing it, and I love seeing you thrive and your family growing. Very happy for you. And listeners, become an email subscriber, and, you guys who are on my list get a VIP look at what Aerial Rehab is, the ground-to-air progression to get you from PT to your favorite aerial class. And of course, Roll It Out. It's our weekly 60-minute virtual rolling session where we torture ourselves together. It's always funner. Funner? Is that a word? It's always easier to do when you've got company. All right, my friends, please honor me with a 5-star rating and review. Anywhere you get your podcasts, check out Digitant Podcast, Health and Wellness Group. Check out Greener Grass. We have a lot of fun stuff happening there, and you get to hear a little bit about me and Kelly's lives if you just want to hear my voice a little bit more. Have an amazing week. Over and out. This is Carrie. Wrap your head around silks. This is the Expecting Girls Podcast.